Amen. We've been doing a series called Run to God. Say, Run to God.
Run to God.
It was a 21-day challenge where we challenged you to pursue God and make an investment into your walk with God and your faith, your relationship with God, not just more than you currently were doing, but greater than you've ever done in your life. Believing that when you draw near to God, He'll draw near to you. And when God draws near to you, it's not that He gets closer in your proximity, because we know from Scripture that God is everywhere, but He gets clearer to you, more real to you, where you begin to experience His power, see your prayers answered, see your life change. Just not what happens on a Sunday, but what's happening throughout the week and your regular rhythm of life. We have to get beyond the thing of Jesus being all about Sunday, and we forget Him on Monday. It's a relationship, a journey. Hebrews 12 tells us that we have a race that God sets before us. And we've been talking in this concept that before we run for God, we must run to God. And this Sunday is the conclusion of this series. I hope you enjoyed it. I have had a tremendous time personally, my walk with God. And in this, 30% of you, the other group, don't even know what's going on. You're waiting. You thought it was Super Bowl Sunday for the, it's going to be on the screen, didn't you? But today we want to finish out with not just talking about running to God, but running for God. Over the years, you develop friends, and I have a couple different friends that don't know each other specifically, but they had one thing in common. Both of them had a Mustang, for those who love cars. And one would take his money and energy, and he would buy the stickers and the molds and the exhaust changes to make it look like a saline, which is basically a specialty Mustang that has to be done. And so I'd been in his car, and he had it all. I mean, it was done right? It looked great. Had the saline going across the windshield, the top. Had it on the side, on the back. Had the molding, so you knew it was supposed to be a different car. And it looked like a saline. People, we'd come to a stop sign, and people would be gawking and looking at it because it was a beautiful car. I had another friend who did the similar thing, but he actually had the money and the ability, and he converted a brand new Mustang into a saline Mustang, which means they literally build it again from ground up, change in suspension, timing, a gear ratio. For some of you that are into engines, you'll know what I'm talking about. I'm kind of a little in the dark because I just know how to drive a car. I don't know how to work on them. Come on, somebody. So I'm just being totally, full disclosure, I don't understand that timing stuff, but that's okay. But he had changed the engine, and his saline Mustang was a real saline Mustang, and it had like 750 horsepower. Yeah. Rode in that one too. He wouldn't let me drive it. I just don't know why he wouldn't let me drive it. But I did get the chance to ride in it. And when, at a first glance, you could look at them and think they were both salines. But the proof of what it was, the true saline, wasn't by appearance, but was based on performance. Because one, when you got in it and it took off, it had a lot of power.
Come on.
And it would just, phew. You said, did you exceed the speed limit? Three times over, baby. I'll just blame the sin on him. I wasn't driving. Amazing fast. Never been in a car that fast in my life. The reason I bring that up is because when we run for God, not just run to God, but when we begin to run for God, we have to be cautious and careful as believers that we do not spend all our energy and time trying to look like we have power but have no power. Because the church world is filled up with people that put all their emphasis on their perception, their persona of how they look, and they put a lot of energy on titles and having everything with proper etiquette and try to get it all so everybody believes that one, that person, woo, they're a spiritual leader. Oh, they got some power. But the proof of the power is not the appearance. It's in the performance. It's not what you say, but what you can do. Somebody with power can pray and see results. Somebody with power can defeat the enemy. Somebody with power the devil's afraid of. Somebody who just looks like they have power are pretty, but don't see any change. And today I want to talk about something that brings power into your life, so that when your prayers go forth, you can see them with power. That when you read the Bible, it becomes more alive. You become more sensitive to God, closer to God, not weird. Let me say this again for all our guests. Being spiritual is not weird. People who try to act spiritual aren't spiritual. That's why they're trying to act spiritual. And when you're spiritual, you don't have to change the way you talk. You don't have to squint your eyes. You don't have to change. You don't have to become something you're not. You can be who you are. Did you hear me? The centurion soldier didn't tell Jesus, I'm a man under authority and a man over authority. And when I talk high pitch and tell one to come, he comes. No, he just said, when I tell him to come. Did you hear me? You don't have to talk in King's English. I see people prophesying in King, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt. Jesus didn't talk in King's English. Got quiet there. Moving right along. Sometimes good people, sincere people, haven't been taught balance, and so they will misunderstand and think that when they're being spiritual, they have to be abrasive or loud. You can be loud if you're loud. But they will start tagging, and usually it comes from somebody that they were trained under. I know, I won't mention his name. I know one guy. Now, I'm not here to pick on anybody. I know one guy. He's a young, relatively young minister, and he was trained under an older minister, and to this day he walks like the 85-year-old man when he preaches. I better be careful. I almost imitate him there. I tell who I was talking about. So it's like there's nothing spiritual about walking like an 85-year-old man. 85-year-old man was a powerful man of God, but he was 85. So don't pick up stuff that's not spiritual, right? Right? Are you with me? I think I lost a few people because your brain's thinking, I wonder who he's talking about. Nobody local. Nobody that you know. So just leave it out. Leave it alone. And there's a tendency in the church world to take truths to extremes. And I encourage you to take the word of God and keep it in the middle of the road. Because when you take the truth of God's word, and a truth can be taken to the far extremes, you find yourself over time running into the ditches. The Bible tells us to rightly divide the word of God, which if we can rightly divide the word of God, then we can wrongly divide the word of God. That's why the Bible says, let every truth by two or three witnesses be established, because you can take one verse out of context and make it say something it was never intended to say. One verse is like, have you ever heard someone teach, women shouldn't talk in the church? And some of you have heard that, right? And the context, you say, yeah, I believe that. Well, listen, if you go to the scripture and actually read the whole chapter, you find out culturally they were talking about, because they were excited, there was the church, but the women and men were separated. And when the women were excited but couldn't understand or had a question, they would yell to their husbands, what does he mean by that? And so Paul was trying to bring some balance to this because they kept becoming a distraction. And he said, listen, you need to be silent in church. Wait till you get home and ask your husband the question. So we just need to read the whole chapter. Because Galatians says that in Christ, there's neither Greek nor Jew, bond, slave, or free, male or female. But we're all one in Christ. Okay, I don't mean to go down that road. So sorry, I apologize for that. We're short on time today. So I want to talk about a truth that has been so beat around the road. Been to several extremes, and that's this concept. And it is not weird. It is not flaky. You got to realize, if you've been in church long enough, that there is just weird people in the church. I mean, if you can say that, we love them, but there's some weird people in the church. And I'm not looking at anybody, so if you think I'm looking at you, there is some weird people in the church. You need to know that. And see, in the church, God's called us to be loving and accepting, so we welcome people. And so the weird, the flakes and the nuts figure that out, and they all kind of gravitate. And it doesn't mean everybody goes to church is a flake and a nut. But if you're in church long enough, you're going to run into a flake and a nut and a weirdo. God doesn't make you weird. The people that are weird in the church were weird before they ever got to the church. You've got to understand this. They were just weird, right? We love them. But if you don't understand that, you'll say, man, I knew somebody who's supposed to be super spiritual, and they were nutty. They were just nutty. And they probably weren't super spiritual. Because you don't have to be nutty to be spiritual. So I want to talk about a concept that is not nutty. It doesn't make you weird. But it has been knocked around in the pendulum of truth. And that's this gift, what we call the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Or praying in the Spirit, or speaking in tongues. And in some circles, it has gone to complete extremes. To one circle, they say, that was for the early church, it's dead. We're going to talk about that today. Today, more than preaching, I want to teach, so hopefully you brought notes. I'm going to go through so many scriptures that you will not even be able to. I encourage you to bring your Bible, but today you will not be able to flip through. You have to look at the screen. But some say that speaking in tongues, that was early church. It doesn't exist. Have you ever heard that before? Come on, work you, some of you. Have you ever heard that before? It's okay. You can believe it or don't believe it. That's up to you. Some will say, oh, speaking of tongues, that is of the devil. Have you ever heard that one before? Okay. Have you ever heard that? Let's go to the other extreme. Some have said, if you don't speak in tongues, then you're not saved and you won't make it to heaven. Have you ever heard that one before? More people on that. Let me just tell you, the blood of Jesus needs nothing added to it for you to get saved and make it to heaven. But don't take my word for it. We're going to look at it, the word of God, all right? And what I want to do today is present you like with a case. Teach you line upon line. Let you decide. You walk it out. Because I believe that there'll be a lot of people that'll get to heaven that didn't have the baptism. Because I don't believe the baptism of the Holy Spirit is what's supposed to get you to heaven. But it's what's supposed to cause you to live with power on this earth. Do you see that? The blood of Jesus enables us to go to heaven. But the Holy Spirit is to empower us on this earth while we're still here. Amen? So let's look what the Bible says. Because I don't want to take my word for it. Let's find out what the Bible says. Mark 16. And Jesus said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Well, Pastor, that was... Well, hang on. Just hold your questions. Write them down if you want. They shall what? Speak with new tongues. 1 Corinthians 13:8. This is where this verse and this chapter is where a lot of people that talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues is no longer for today. Here's a big key verse that they use. And the reason I know that is because I used to argue a lot. God had to take that out of me. I used to love to debate. I mean, as just growing up, as a kid, I used to love to debate. I'd get people mad at me. I'd get teachers mad at me. I'd get adults mad at me. I just like to debate. Even if I knew they were right, I would debate them just for the fun of debating them. I'd tick people off. I know you've never done that. You just felt ornery, and you were just going to get... Yeah, so. 1 Corinthians 13:8 says, love, charity is in King's English means love, the God kind of love. Love never fails, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. See, Pastor, where there are tongues, they're going to cease. Yeah, but let's keep this in context, what he's saying. Notice the third part of this. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. The word knowledge there, if you look, it means to learn, to increase in knowledge. So if you say, well, if tongues are vanished away by that verse, then you have to take away. Learning of knowledge is vanished away. But as long as we're learning, it hasn't vanished away. You can't take two of the three and say two of the three are over, but the third one we're going to still leave. Mm-hmm. For we know, now notice, and here's where they get into this. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. This is Paul talking. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is part shall be done away with. And they'll stop and say, wait a minute, see, when that which is perfect is come, and that's the Bible, then that which is in part, wait a minute, let's keep reading, because this is Paul, who's writing the Bible. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through, now, Paul is talking, now we see through a glass darkly. That means it's got like, you can't see clearly. It's got all the smudges on it. But then face to face, notice, but then what? Face to face. So now is dark glass, then face to face. Now I know in part. But then I shall know even as I am known. When are you going to know as you are known by God? When are you going to see clearly? Not when the word has come to humanity, but when you get to heaven. And now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. So let's look at the beginning of this. Acts 1, Jesus talking, from a treaty I have made of Theophilus of all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also showed himself alive after his passion, which means after the resurrection. So this is talking about Jesus after the cross, resurrected, and most people don't realize that after the resurrection, he stayed on this earth walking around teaching. Man, it'd be cool to have been on this earth when Jesus was teaching. Can you imagine being on this earth and hearing him teach after the resurrection in his glorified body? Tell me if that wouldn't be like you. What'd you say again, Jesus? Notice, to whom he also showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days. He hung out for 40 days on this earth. And speaking of things, God bless you, and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. For John, notice here, he's quoting, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many days hence. This is Jesus after the cross, after the resurrection, and you know that this time the disciples are saved because salvation has come to humanity after the resurrection. And he said, stay here in Jerusalem until you are baptized with the Holy Ghost. You say, Pastor, that doesn't totally make sense. I know God's ways are way beyond our ways. But God's not weird. We're not weird. You don't have to be weird to serve Jesus. Acts 2, 1, 4, verse 1 through 4. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Jesus said, I want you to wait here. Can you imagine? One of the prophecies that John the Baptist came, he said, listen, I'm not the Christ, but there is one coming after me whose shoelaces I'm not even worthy to tie up. I baptize you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. I wonder if John ever questioned if he missed it, because through the ministry of Jesus, you didn't see that happening. But John was saying something that God understood that he didn't fully understand. That it wasn't going to happen when Jesus' ministry was on the earth before the cross. It was going to happen when Jesus sends the Holy Spirit. Let me give you three benefits. Number one, when you pray in tongues, when you speak in tongues, when you pray in the Spirit. Number one, it builds you up, recharges you. Jude verse 20. But you, beloved, building yourself up. Building up yourselves on the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Why am I bringing emphasis to that? Because too many times in life, we want somebody else to build us up. And they might not be building you up. They might be propping you up. And the difference between being propped up and built up is when you are propped up, all you need is something or someone to remove the prop and you fall back down. But when you have nobody speaking into your life, when you have nothing good to encourage you, you don't have to live in the valley of self-pity. You can build yourself up in the Holy Ghost by praying in the Spirit. Let's not just take one verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, by two or three witnesses, let everything be established. And we're not reading all the verses, obviously, because of time. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2 through 5. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth or builds himself up. If you find yourself in the rhythm of feeling, man, I'm just kind of like discouraged, I'm not built up, I need something or someone, let me challenge you. They might not always be there. You can pray in the Holy Spirit. Pray in the Holy Ghost. But I don't feel anything. It don't matter what you feel. Begin to pray and the feelings will change. Begin to pray and the anointing will change. Begin to pray and things will begin to change. Amen. Amen. He that speaketh an unknown tongue edify. Now this might be totally foreign to some of you. That's okay. Put it on the back burner. Just listen. Amen. He that speaketh an unknown tongue edify. If there's somebody here, you don't have it, and the Lord just showed me, but you've been praying. God, show me. What am I missing? I'm missing something. Unknown tongue edifieth himself. It might not look like what you thought it was going to be. It's amazing how we expect God to do it the way we want him to do it. But this is an answer to your prayer. But he that prophesieth edifieth the church. I would that you all spake with tongues, but rather that you prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues. See, I've heard people say, see, right there, prophesying, which means to proclaim, to declare what God is saying. That's more important. So we don't need to have speaking in tongues because it says right here, one's greater. Well, let's read the full sentence. Let's read it again. Because it says, I'd rather you prophesy, for greater is he that prophesieth than he speaketh with tongues, except he interpret. See, the thing what you have to understand is when you begin to proclaim what God is saying in a language that the people understand, you are building up people. You're building up the church. When you pray in an unknown tongue or pray in the spirit, you are building yourself up. Paul said it's better to build the group up than just yourself. Unless you can give an interpretation of what's being said so that the group can be prophesied. But just in case someone might say, well, I don't think he believed in it. Well, let's keep reading. For in verse 18, he said, verse 18, same chapter, same book. I thank my God, I speak. Look what Paul's saying. I speak with tongues more than you all. So Paul couldn't be saying, don't speak in tongues and discourage it. He said, I speak in tongues more than you all. More than all of you. I don't know how much that is, but I'll tell you what it is. It has to be a lot. Mm-hmm. Moving right along, number two thing it does, when you pray in the Spirit, you are praying God's will for your life. Let me show you. 1 Corinthians 14. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth. But my understanding is fruitful. I've heard one person say, praying in the Spirit is not speaking in tongues. Praying in the Spirit is when you're praying in English and you just feel God's presence. That would almost sound right, unless you take it to the Word. And here we see that when he that speaketh in unknown tongues or praying in the Spirit, that he speaketh mysteries. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. Which means I don't know what I'm saying. But I'm not talking to man, I'm talking to God. Amen. What's cool is you might not understand what you're saying. The people around you might not understand what you're saying. The devil doesn't understand what you're saying. Because you're not speaking to them or yourself, you're speaking to God. What are you speaking to God? Look at that verse, mysteries. Is there a mystery that is too deep for God? Absolutely not. He knows all things. Then why are we speaking a mystery to God? Because as you begin to speak a mystery to God, God will begin to reveal his mystery to you. And then you can begin to speak in alignment, begin to pray in alignment. Jesus said, you have not because you ask not. You can pray and pray in the wrong direction and not get what you're asking for. You might be in a position of, God, I don't even know how to pray. We don't always know how to pray. But when we begin to pray in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit prays through us the will of the Father. Let me keep reading this. He speaketh mysteries. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is fruitful. What is it then? I will pray in the Spirit, and then I will pray with the understanding also. Not pray with understanding, pray with the understanding. What am I praying the understanding? Of that which is I'm praying in the Spirit. I will sing in the Spirit, I will sing with the understanding. Romans 8:26. Are you with me? Is this okay? You guys do it okay? Likewise, the Holy Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. The word infirmity there actually means our inability to produce results. For we don't know always how we should pray as we should. Have you ever been there? We've all been there. But the Holy Spirit himself maketh intercession with us for groanings which cannot be uttered, and he searcheth the hearts and the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. He is praying the will of the Father through you, and you don't even know it yet. You're just, when you pray in the Spirit, you're giving the Holy Spirit the opportunity to pray through you to the Father. A mystery for your in alignment with God's will for your life. And they begin to give you the revelation of what to say and pray. Last but not least, we're moving quickly, but this brings us all the way around to the circle of power. The third thing that happens as we receive power. Luke 24, verse 49. Jesus said, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry you in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. So we see here that what was happening is when they received the Holy Spirit, they received power. Power to live on this earth. God's church has to be a church of power. It can't can't be a church of argument. It can't be a church of debate. It must be a church of power. Paul wrote and said that I didn't come with enticing words, but with demonstrations of power, that your faith would be in the power of God and not in the reasoning of man. It makes no sense how you can go to someone who's sick and pray over them or touch them or just call them on the phone and they get healed. It makes no sense to the natural man. It makes no sense how someone who had lived an evil, wicked life can repent and ask God to forgive them. And at that point, they are brand new on the inside and their sins are forgiven and they have a fresh start. It makes no sense. Why? Because it's the power of God. But how do we receive it? Acts 8. I told you I was going to hit you with some scripture today. Now, when the apostles were at Jerusalem, they heard that Samaria had received the word of God. They heard that Samaria, the word came to them, the grapevine came to them, that Samaria had received the word of God, which means they were getting saved. They were in revival. And they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Well, Pastor, when I get saved, do I receive the Holy Spirit? Yes, but the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a different experience. It's not a requirement for salvation to make it to heaven. It is a requirement for you to live in all the power that God has for you on this earth. What has messed it up for a lot of the church people that don't have the baptism is good church people who get the baptism, but all of a sudden some flake out, some freak out, some stop praying and spending time in the Word, and their life wrecks and crashes on the roadside of life, and people look at that and say, I don't want anything to do with that. God doesn't make you weird. God doesn't hurt you. He makes your life better. Power, the power of God improves your life, gives you victory. Are you with me? So have you received the Holy Ghost? For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then notice they laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon, if you study the whole chapter, Simon was a sorcerer. Simon was not doing the right thing. Simon saw something. He didn't perceive it by God. He saw something in the natural. What did Simon see? I almost say that three times fast. What did Simon see? Not what Simon said, what Simon saw. Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given. He offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands on, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said, your money will perish with you, because you have thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Let me take a side note. I did it in the first service. I'll do it in the second, probably the third. Be careful of ministries that require money before they minister. There's no precedent in the Bible where there's a $25 line, $50 line, $100 line, and $250 line, $500 line, $1,000 line. That's gone on in the church world, and that was a mistake. Not that the people did it are wrong in ministry. They just made a mistake. There shouldn't be a $1,000 line. Did you hear me? Learn from Kenneth Hagin in his book, Midas Touch. And the print, one of the truths was, in any ministry, even business and life, in ministry, you need money to do what God's called you to do, but never go after money. When you get to a place where the money becomes a priority and you begin to do stuff to get the offering, you're going after money. Did you hear me? Be careful of those type of ministries. Not that the people are wrong as individuals in their walk with God. They're just making a mistake right in that part of their life. But notice that he saw what? That on the laying on of hands, they received the Holy Ghost. Let's not stop there. Acts 19:1, our last verse. Acts 19:1. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain, what? Certain what? Disciples. Finding disciples, followers of Christ, people already saved. Notice, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost? Well, if the baptism of the Holy Ghost came at salvation, why would he ask that question? He said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. He said unto them, then what were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him, which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. Notice what happened when he laid his hands on them. They received the Holy Ghost. This is not a requirement for salvation, but it is a requirement for you living and experiencing all that God has for you. It doesn't have to be weird, goofy, and spooky. It doesn't have to be, and some people do it this way, that's okay, but it doesn't have to be come to an altar and you rock and someone's pushing you and someone's pulling you and someone's rubbing your hair and someone's giving you a back massage and someone's sweating over you and someone's screaming, let go, and someone's screaming, hang on, and let go, and hang on. I've been in the church world a long time, folks, so I've been around, let go, hang on, let go, hang on, and all you can think of is they're messing up my hair. It cost me a lot of money to get my hair to look like this, and I got to go home looking. Can't find any of that in the Bible. People just sometimes do what they've seen, and that's okay. What? How do we see that they receive? Oh, you got to tarry and wait. That's not according to the Bible. But he laid hands upon them. They received the Holy Ghost. Let's not take that which is simple and make it difficult. And they begin to speak with other tongues. So we're going to take a few minutes. Ask Sean to come to the keyboard. We're going to take a few minutes, and I want to pray for those who want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Is that okay? Yeah. I'm glad you agree, because if you didn't, well, I'm just going to disappoint you, and I don't mean to disappoint you, because I love you. If this is still a question for you right now in your walk with God, listen, I'm not here to force you into anyone's mindset. Your relationship with God is like a journey. You walk it out. Put it on the back burner. Put it on the back. But maybe you're here and you used to have this gift of speaking in other tongues and you haven't prayed in tongues in a long time. You might need a fresh touch. This is more than just a stammering lips. This is more than I feel something. This is a gift that your Heavenly Father has for you. So if you'd like for me to lay hands on you, for you to receive the Holy Ghost, if you would, come now to the front. In Jesus' name. I just encourage you, don't miss out. There's a lot of people coming. Some have to leave because of time, I understand. Don't miss out. Don't miss out. Here's what we're going to ask you to do. If you're in the front, go ahead and get as close to the platform as you can. If you're behind someone that's in the front, if I could have you maybe stand off to the side, maybe down the aisle, what we'll do is we'll pray for the first group, and then we'll have the second group come in, okay? And we're going to be going over a little, obviously, in time. That's okay. If you have to leave, we understand. If you don't have to leave, I encourage you to be quietly first praying right there where you're at in your seat, because we want God to do something amazing in these people's lives. Let me give you a few minutes of instruction before I pray for you. I'm going to do several things. Number one, I'm going to lead you in a sinner's prayer. Not that you're a sinner, but I want to make sure everybody starts off at the same place. I want to make sure that there's, you know what I mean, because I don't want to make an assumption on anything. So first of all, I want to make sure that any sin in our life we've dealt with, okay? Secondly, I want you to understand a couple things. One, that this is a gift. Don't try to figure out in your logic, it's a gift. Relax a little. Don't get nervous, just relax. I'll come by and pray for each one of you. But I want you to have this mental picture. When you were a kid, I have a 6-year-old daughter, and at Christmas time, when I bought her a present and gave it to her, I didn't play a game with her. God's, your Heavenly Father's not going to play a game with you. It's not like, here you go, and you go to reach for it. He goes, no, here you go. No. I didn't look at Logan and say, listen, before I give you the gift, you need to go and cut the grass, do the laundry. No, it wasn't earning the gift. I was more excited about her enjoying what I had prepared for her. So this is not a matter of you're good enough or if you have to do something. This is a matter of you just receiving. If you can get that in your heart, it'll be so easy for you to receive. I prayed for thousands of people. And some, they struggle. It's just automatic. It's okay. Some, they're struggling because they're trying to figure out in their brain, what am I going to say? Some are getting nervous. Some are trying to earn it. God, I don't know if I'm worthy. That's just the devil messing with you. It's just a matter of you relax and say, Lord, I receive what you have for me. And then when I come in front of you, I'm going to pray for each and every one of you. And then I'm going to lay my hands on you. And I want you to use your faith. Believe with me that when I lay my hands on you, that you'll receive the Holy Spirit. And in that, I want you to start worshiping God, thanking Him for it. And at a certain time, I'm going to say, when I feel in my heart that you have it, begin to speak and pray in tongues. Now, catch this. One thing that I've noticed is a common denominator, common for most people, is that when I say begin to speak with tongues, some of our logical people that like to figure it all out will start wondering, I don't know, what am I going to say? Just relax. Trust the Lord to give you something in your heart. It might be a syllable like baby language, like wow. It might be a full language, I don't know. But I tell you what I do know, the devil will tell you, that's not it, don't say it. He does that to every one of us. It's the wildest thing. You would think he'd figure out when we all start telling what's happened to us. But it happens. You just begin to speak it out. Don't look for emotion. Some of us think we can't pray in tongues unless we feel emotion. Don't look for, I'll let God just take over. God's not going to take over your tongue, your lips, your vocal cords. You have to say it just like you're talking. It's not relaxing, and if it happens, it'll automatic. No, you have to speak it out. But you say what God's saying, amen? What He's given you, and you speak it out boldly. Watch what God happens. So if I can, we're going to get all the ones, and maybe in this back row, if you can maybe go down the aisle so we have a little room. Sorry to inconvenience anybody, but I just want to make this smooth so we're all on the same page. In the front, I want you to... Actually, I'll pray for everybody in a second. Is everybody set? Would you bow your head? Let's all pray this prayer together. Say with me, say, God, I come to you today. If there's any sin in my heart or my life, I repent. I ask you to forgive me. Wash me in your precious blood. I accept you, Jesus, as my Lord and Savior. Say, Father God, your word says that you have given me the Holy Spirit with the ability to speak in this heavenly prayer language. So I ask you right now for you to give me the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the ability to speak in other tongues. I believe I receive. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now I want you to just lift your hands in the front row. Just lift your hand and begin to worship God. Begin to thank Him. Just begin to thank Him for what He's doing. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, church. Be a part of this. Be a part of this. Be a part of this. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
All that.